Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I'm your host, Linda, and I am broadcasting from a very hot heat wave Oceanside, California. I looked outside about 10 minutes before we went on, and it is right on 100 outside, and that's kind of in the shade, if there's any shade. Welcome, everybody. Bill, Leah's on the phone with me, Ron, two guests, and Yola and Nick. It's just amazing here. I've got ice water, my window's open, and the fan's on me. It's pretty crazy. We've got some heavy-duty Santa Anas for the past couple days, so pretty neat. Again, welcome. There is so much to cover, I don't even know where to start, because we've got Common Core stuff, I've got stuff in the news about California, a couple articles I want to get to. But before we do that, we need to get into a little bit of uplifting things, and this is from the Bible, and this particular inspirational promise is about truth. So let us get started. This is from Psalm 19:7-9. The teachings of the Lord are perfect. They give new strength. The rules of the Lord can be trusted. They make plain people wise. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are completely right. Then the next psalm is 119:97-98, and 160. How I love your teachings. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, because they are mine forever. Your words are true from the start, and all your laws will be fair forever. 1 John 5:20. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we can know the true one, and our lives are in the true one, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and the eternal life. Nice lessons to be attentive to, and also quite uplifting. Now we know where truth comes from. Let us go into some of the perverted nonsense that's going on in our secular world. Okay. Basically, I went to a meeting last week. It was a two-hour meeting on Common Core. There were absolutely wonderful people. Sandra Stotsky, Lydia Gutierrez, and Brad Dacus. Brad is from the Pacific Justice Institute, who is out there championing parents' rights to opt out of this. In fact, those people were speaking a couple days ago up in Sacramento to try to get the legislatures to understand that we need this bill, I think, that Tim Donnelly has championed, and he's running for governor of California, to make sure that we do have the rights to opt out of this nonsense in California in all the schools, whether it's charter schools, public schools, private, or homeschooling. So this is very important, especially here in California. I know that there's stuff going on in Indiana, because I was reading things that Bill has posted regarding the Common Core. I haven't had a chance to get to it, but what I'll do is, and the other one I need to get out to you guys or put on Patriot Families is the one from Glenn Beck's The Blaze, which it's actually a special magazine, and if you get into this link and you type in this little code word, you should be able to find this article. It is astounding. It's amazing to see. You've got to read on this. I'll try to get it up there after the show's over, because these ideologies go all the way back to the 1800s, which we will be covering today on the facts about secession. Okay, more on a little bit about the Common Core. What they're doing, this is the math and reading standards, or the ELA, or English language arts. And these standards, that's what this Common Core impacts right now, especially in California. Now, on these Common Core committees, we want to ask the question, who was excluded from the Common Core committees? And the answer is, you're going to love this, parents, teachers, state legislators, and local school board members. Oh, that's interesting. That's pretty sad. Basically, what we're trying to fight for here is parents still have control over their kids' education. We have the right to that right now until full-on fascism and statism takes over if we don't stop this nonsense. So some of these standards and these testing standards were in 2009. The test developers for state testing standards started by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and this company called Achieve Inc. And all of these companies, I didn't get the chance to, I was writing rapidly, but I didn't get it all. These companies are private, so none of these can, nobody can go in and say, we want a FOIA request on these people. So that presents a problem as well. So these are the ones who have written the grade level standards. There was people that, this English teacher actually wrote the math standards, Phil Garrow. And now going into the deficiencies of Common Core standards, one of the, I think Lydia Gutierrez, who's also running for state superintendent in 2014, which she will get my vote, they have claimed that it's internationally benchmarked, but it's not. That's absolutely a lie. It's not research-based. They are not using the classics. They're using informational texts. And what they're doing is they're indoctrinating, of course. And we didn't even get to the part about the one supposed nonfiction book or fiction book called The Bluest Eye, which would curl anybody's hair, and that was for the high school level people. There's no analytical reading or thinking and writing, no critical thinking. Stress on writing versus reading, the same with the math. The whole thing is just absolutely astoundingly stupid. And then the algebra course was available in the eighth grade. CC is now moving it to grade 9 or 10 and 11, so they're not going to get the algebra at the ages that they should be getting it. The other issues, which is the English language arts, Common Core claims that their standards are fewer, clearer, and deeper. Well, they're deeper than something piled high, but I won't go into that. And that is incorrect. 46 states adopted this very rapidly, some even prior to the standards being written. Before they were actually finished, they adopted it. And because there's a lot of stuff, you know, hanging in front of them, the low dangling carrots of money. The curriculum, or Common Core curriculum, it's like what the kids are learning and seeing as a course of study, as opposed to the European word syllabus, which means content. And I know that because I was a ballet teacher for a long time, and that's what the owner of the studio would ask me, what is your syllabus for this class? And so we would write them. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to take these low-performance school systems in certain areas in the, you know, the all but forgotten poor kids and lift them up to certain standards. Well, they're not doing a very good job, and I don't think that this is not the answer. Some of this came, of course, with No Child Left Behind and then picked up by Ovamit with his Race to the Top, and I think this was all written inside that stimulus package. You remember that one in 2009? Yeah, this schmuck has his hands into all of this socialist Marxist nonsense. Governor Brown, you're going to love this, in California, closed 72 vocational schools last year in California. California has a 25% dropout rate. 65% of the job market needs vocational training. Not everybody needs to go to college. We've talked about this. In the classroom, these teachers and educators have told us that there are no report cards with grades on them. They're using progress report cards, and they don't use the word proficient. They use adequate. In other words, the standards are proficient. Not proficient, they are adequate. Adequate to what? Okay, so many of these people who are speaking mentioned that Common Core, they call it a theory because most of it is made up out of whole cloth. This is a licensed product. by the Gates and the others, the Achieve Inc. And this is also owned by the National Governors Association. Does that tell you something? Common Core is marketed as a standard, and Gates bought these people off with millions of dollars, such as the NEA and the CTA. That's California Teachers Association. Isn't that special? In California, they took away, in the math thing, they took away calendar time, like teaching the kids about time and hours and weeks and months and all that stuff. They're using iPhones and computers. They don't have papers and books, et cetera, most of the time. They're taking away face-to-face conversations is what they're doing. They're depersonalizing everything. There's no personal interaction with other humans in these people people's world. There's there's something going on, and I have to look it up. I believe it's in California. It's called AB 97, which is the Assembly Bill 97. It's local control funding formula, which is basically the base funding for this mess, and I'm sure that they're dangling carrots in that. I'll have to go and read it. But anybody who wants to, just go Google AB 97 for California, and that will give it to you. In 1979, the federal government has had their hands, you know, dipped into our states with the education. So in other words, part of what AB 97 states is to get the funds from the federal government or the state, you have to use Common Core. Apparently on this AB 97, page 98 and page 100 state that you must use Common Core standards. So, and also now there's going to be no calculus and trigonometry in this world. They're worried about AB 1266, which was the California gender-neutral bathrooms. We're still fighting that. There's also the people who are in the Pacific Justice Institute who are against this monstrosity are worried about the data mining, which makes there's no privacy. And, you know, this is all controlled by, and I believe linked to Agenda 21 and the ACA and the doctors asking these questions and the teachers asking questions. They're already doing it in some Common Core studies where they're asking questions, you know, do your parents argue? Do you have guns in the home and all this nonsense? So the Pacific Justice Institute is working very diligently at the state level on the opt-out forms for parents. They're also fighting against the biometric data. They want that to have an opt-out situation as well. The only thing that we can do as parents and people who are concerned is hang out with your school board members and literally reclaim your schools. You have to push hard on this. And again, there's that one. I'll try to get it on Patriot Families after the show. thank you. Welcome to the Matrix. Yes, Ron. This Common Core of you, we have to fight it. You have to tell people. Even in California, people are huge. There was 400 people at this meeting, and we had we also had press there. It was awesome. And our local radio talk show host, Mike Slater, was there, and he did a really beautiful job. So, and he talks about these things on his show, so this is wonderful. Again, welcome all the guests and everybody here in here on 424. I think that's Sandy, but I'm not sure. Anyway, I want to go through some headlines here, how I deal with California. This was in my local rag. So she's typing and saying that is she. Okay. It says, Toyota joins the exodus from California. The news that Toyota is preparing to move its North American headquarters from Torrance, California to Dallas is fresh evidence of the downside to California's high cost, high tax, regulation, heavy business climate. Will the likely loss of 3,000 plus middle class jobs wake up Governor Jerry Brown and leaders of the legislature? My guess is it won't. In a rational state, of course it would, but not in California. The Golden State has the nation's worst poverty rate and the second highest percentage of willing workers unable to find a full-time job. I'm one of them. Yet Mussolini Brown, that's my editorial, and his fellow Democrats insist that California has bounced back from the Great Recession. Oh, gee, let's see, who are they parroting. Oh, yeah, I would believe that would be O-vomit. Even though the recession has never ended for millions of people without college degrees and those who live more than 50 miles from the coast. That's bad enough, but California's elected leaders also sneer at suggestions that America's other megastate is doing far better at creating middle-class jobs. And it's a fact, not just a talking point, of Texas Governor Rick Perry. A Praxis Strategy Group study released last fall said that four metropolitan areas that had the biggest gains in such jobs since 2007 were Austin, Houston, San Antonio, and Dallas-Fort Worth. Why might that be? Because Texas's elected leaders of both parties know that having a thriving private sector economy is a good thing. In the Golden State, we're stuck with leaders who only value government jobs and green jobs. I've been harping on that for a while. And who just don't care if mass economy misery is the result. True. So goodbye, Toyota. We suspect with something approximating metaphysical certainty that you won't be the last big employer to give up on the Golden State. And that's one of the lovely items I had here. There's tons of stuff going on. This is also going on. What they also were doing, I just heard it briefly. I didn't get a chance to go in and study it. But these idiots in Sacramento now, they want to tax income disparity on corporations in California. Let me explain this to you. These miserable SOBs, they want to take the difference between what the CEO makes and the lowest paid person in that company makes and tax this company on the disparity percentage. Have you ever heard anything this nuts in your entire life? And on top of that, we have the San Diego. This is the city of San Diego. I'm not actually involved in the Sodom. Yeah, it's worse than that. It's California, Bill. San Diego City proper. I live in a charter city called Oceanside. We have all these little incorporated or charter cities or general law cities. And mine is Oceanside. Downtown San Diego is about 40 miles away from me, south of here. So they have their own city council. They've got all their own issues. And it's got a larger population and a larger landmass. So there's this clown called, his name is Todd Gloria, and he's a progressive from the get-go. So here's the – I'm trying to read the stuff in the chat room, and it's not working. However, it says San Diego wage hike proposed. He wants $13.09 proposed minimum wage for San Diego by 2017, which would be among the highest in the nation. Okay, so then it says he wants to increase that pay over 3 years. The city of San Diego's minimum wage would increase to $13.09 an hour during the next 3 years under proposal unveiled Wednesday by City Council President Todd Gloria. The proposed hikes, which would make San Diego's minimum wage among the highest in the nation. I'm going to mute this one. I don't know if it's you or me, but we'll see if that helps. I know you can still hear me. I don't want to do that. Okay. I just wanted to get, because I don't know if it was me making that noise. Okay. I'm glad to see some people logging back in. It's probably Blog Talk Radio. The proposed heist would make San Diego's minimum wage highest in the nation would be part of a measure that Gloria and other supporters plan to place on this November ballot. The measure would also require employees to give workers 5 paid sick days a year. Supporters, including several labor unions and social advocacy groups, say the measure would strengthen San Diego's economy by boosting, listen to this, all about consumerism, San Diego's economy by boosting purchasing power for many thousands of low-income workers, which is a huge lie. Another goal is providing full-time, you got to hear this, full-time low-wage workers enough income to afford a place to live and other basics. Really? I don't know of any low-wage workers who have full-time jobs to begin with. Critics, including the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce and Mayor Kevin Faulkner, who we just elected, thank God, have expressed concern that having a higher minimum wage, than what the state requires could drive businesses away from San Diego and cripple those that stay, particularly nonprofits, smaller businesses. Gloria described Wednesday's proposal, which was the first time he's attached specific numbers to his campaign for higher minimum wage. These people are absolutely insane. So let me go back to some of this article. So it says, where did the minimum wage come from? This is the question and answer period of this facts and figures. It started at 25 cents per hour in the 1938 Fair Labor Standards Act. Gee, who was president? Oh, yeah, I think that was FDR. Since then, Congress had raised it 22 times. Its value peaked in the 60s, but the wage hasn't kept up with inflation since then. The last increase was 07 during the presidency of George W. Bush. It was phased in to reach $7.25 in 2009. Obama has proposed that the wage be indexed to inflation so it would rise automatically in the future. Yeah, well, I don't care what he thinks. So what happens next for San Diego's proposal? First, there could be more negotiations. City Council, Todd Gloria, one of the leading proponents, calls the proposal a startling starting point for talks and possible alterations. He suggested including some sort of relief for small businesses to help them absorb the increased wage costs. Oh, really? What's he going to do, wave a magic wand and give them money? But none is in the measure as it now stands. If the city council is to put the plan on the November ballot as proposed, it must do so by August. These people actually think, oh, welcome, Rod, glad you're in, actually think that people who make this increase $13.09 an hour are going to go out and spend money in the economy and raise up everybody like lifting boats. This is how these people think. First of all, there's not going to be any consumerism on $10 or $13 an hour because these people are not going to have jobs in the first place. He's going to kill small business. They cannot get this through their stupid heads, I swear to you. It just infuriates me. All right, here's the next one. More Agenda 21. North County, another part of my rag. This is Key Housing Project breaks ground in Vista, which is my neighbor. We have a lot of great people there trying to get this stuff. So they put this picture of this absolutely disgusting European-looking clone of every place else, Agenda 21 building. So it says an artist's rendering of the North Santa Fe apartments, a 20.5 million, 68-unit, get this part, affordable housing complex being built in Vista. They are homogenizing everything with this Agenda 21. You got to love this subheadline. Officials say the 68-unit complex will revitalize the town downtown area. Again, they think by making it pretty, there'll be empty buildings because no one's going to live there eventually, especially if the rents keep going up. They think by making it pretty that this is going to be an economic boon to the area. They don't understand Econ 101, apparently have never read it, heard it, or thought about it. In Vista, a narrow empty lot on a busy Vista corner is about to get 20.5 million facelift. City officials on Wednesday marked the ceremonial start of construction on North Santa Fe Apartments, a 68-unit affordable housing development that will soon take shape on the northeast corner of Santa Fe and Vista Village Drive. We need nice new development. This is a great addition to the downtown area, said Cliff Kaiser. Oh, God. He's the president of the Vista Village Business Association and one of several people, he's obviously a libtard, on hand as local dignitaries wearing hard hats and wielding shovels kicked off the upcoming construction. The three-story project, which sits on city-owned land, is another step in Vista's efforts to revitalize its quirky downtown. Now, let's see, let me finish this out real quick, and then we'll go on to one of my main points, and I would love to take calls. Let me get, so it says, city leaders want to turn It's here. And seven, Concordia. Sorry. Turn the area into a, here you go, pedestrian-oriented shopping, residential, and entertainment district. This has got Agenda 21 written all over it. Just down the street on South Santa Fe, crews are working Paseo Point, 69, another one, 69 affordable housing unit, that will feature commercial retail space on the ground floor. That's, yeah, and all the ones in Oceanside, they're empty. Both top and bottom are empty. The 27.5 million housing complex, also on city-owned land, should be done by next spring. Kaiser called the two projects critical to the ongoing revitalization of downtown and said they would bring in more people. See, these people are stupid. And thus more business to the area. How are they justifying this? Where are they getting these statistics? Quote, this will cause empty storefronts to be filled. That's a damn lie. It's never worked anywhere we've done it in North County. The North Santa Fe apartments will sit on a 1.4-acre lot. Anyway, so then it goes, the land is worth about $2.4 million. The city will lease it for $1 a year to Community Housing Works. Oh, God, nonprofit, or yeah. These people develop the affordable housing and assist homebuyers throughout Southern California. I'm sure they do. The bulk of the funding, nearly $16.6 million for the project, is coming from, get this, from Union Bank through the federal low-income housing tax credit. Oh, isn't that special? This is what I am going through, okay? Now, you guys can call in. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Leah. How are you doing?
Okay, good, great, actually. I had you on mute because I was at home cooking, and now I'm at the ballpark getting my daughter.
Fabulous. So. I'm going to go into some – I've got a couple things I want to finish up here if I can find them.
That's great.
Yeah, and then I'm going to also take calls. So anybody out there in the chat room, I'm going to type this in, and I definitely want you guys to call. So it's 646-378-0321. So we already have one person on the line. This next readings are from – these are the facts on secession. This is from The Real Lincoln, and it starts – talking about the Federalist Party's efforts to have New England secede from the Union at this point. Throughout this whole ordeal, no one ever made a principled argument against a state's right of secession. It was assumed by everyone that, as Pickering said, secession was the principle of the American Revolution and there would be nothing so un-American as opposing the right of secession. So the Central Confederacy coming up, prior to Fort Sumter, there was widespread sentiment in the North in favor of allowing the Southern states to peacefully secede. The sentiment, hold on. Let me look. Ron's asking. Let me see. I have to go back a little further, and I don't see the name. Hold on. I can't see it. It could be. It didn't give me the first name in that piece. I'm sorry. Okay. He must have Googled it. All right. So this sentiment was so pervasive, in fact, that there were individual secession movements in what at the time were called the Middle States. New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Maryland, these states which accounted for more than 40% of the country's gross national product, contained three types of secessionists: those who wanted to join the Southern Confederacy, those who wished to form their own Central Confederacy, and those who simply preferred to allow the South to go in peace rather than essentially destroying the Union by holding it together by military force. One or the other of these secession movements had the support of the Democratic Party in every one of those states, and the cities of Baltimore, New York, and Philadelphia were hotbeds of secessionism. New Jersey had the largest secession movement, followed by New York City and the New York State's Hudson Valley region. Allowing Southern states to go in peace was the most popular secessionist notion in the Middle States, as explained by Edward Everett, who had run as the vice presidential candidate with John Bell on the Constitutional Union Party ticket in 1860, which we're going to get to those dates in a second, to expect to hold 15 states, this is a quote, in the Union by force is preposterous. The idea of a civil war accompanied as it would be by a servile insurrection is too monstrous to be entertained for a moment. Oh, it gets better. Where do you see the articles I'm going to get to in the newspapers in those times? The majority of Maryland's political leaders favored peaceful secession in 1861, not necessarily of Maryland, but of the Southern Confederacy. However, they were all arrested by federal soldiers under orders from President Lincoln, who had suspended the writ of habeas corpus and was never permitted to assemble in the state legislature to even debate the issue of secession. The United States Senator James Alfred Pierce of Maryland, who did not want Maryland to secede, but who supported that peaceful secession of the southern states, expressed the majority sentiment. I have no idea that the Union can be maintained or restored by force, nor do I believe in the value of a Union which can only be kept together by dint of a military force. According to statements made by Maryland's political leaders at the time, most Marylanders, like so many Northerners, believed that forcing a state at gunpoint to remain a part of the Union would destroy the concept of the Union as a voluntary association of states and preserve it only in a geographical sense. Well, well, well. Quote, any attempt to preserve the Union between the states of this Confederacy by force, as Maryland Congressman Jacob M. Kunkel said, would be impractical and destructive of Republican liberty. So, hey, Doc, welcome to the show. I've got a couple things I want to read to you. This was 495 editorials from Northern newspapers were written from the late 1860s to the mid-1861. And this is the characterization of the public opinion in the North regarding the right of secession. So this is from places like Albany, Chicago, New York, of course, Maine, Brooklyn, Cincinnati, Iowa, let's see, Wisconsin, Detroit, Connecticut. I mean, this goes on and on and on, but I'm going to give you a couple of them. This is the 1860. Quote, like it or not, this is from the Chicago Daily Times, like it or not, the cotton states will secede, and Southerners will regain their sense of independence and honor. Concord Democratic Standard paper wrote, appealed for concession of the right of the just rights of our Southern brethren. Bangor Daily Union, Union depends for its continuance on the free consent and will of the sovereign people of each state, and when that consent and will is withdrawn on either part, their union is gone. A state coerced to remain in the Union is a subject province and can never be a co-equal member of the American Union. In the Davenport, Iowa Democrat and News, the leading and most influential papers of the Union believe that any state of the Union has a right to secede. Providence Evening Press, sovereignty necessarily includes that we call the right of secession. This right must be maintained lest we establish a colossal despotism against which the founding fathers uttered their solemn warnings. Cincinnati Daily Press, we believe that the right of any member of this Confederacy to dissolve its political relations with the others and assume an independent position is absolute. New York Tribune, if tyranny and despotism justified the revolution of 1776, then we do not see why it would not justify the secession of 5 million of Southerners from the Federal Union in 1861. In Wisconsin, secession is the very germ of liberty. The right of secession inheres to the people of every sovereign state. Detroit Free Press, an attempt to subjugate the seceded states, even if successful, could produce nothing but evil, evil unmitigated in character and appalling in extent. So this is what, hey, Higher Truth, got that going. Hey, Holger, glad to see everybody here. Anybody that wants to talk about what I've just talked about, the right of secession, of course, I do believe we've gone far beyond that. 646-378-0321. And all the other items I've talked about today with the housing and Vista, my Agenda 21 problems, and what I'm going to do is continue on the headlines that I have. I want to do the Benghazi thing. Let me type this in real quick. 378-0321. There we go. That's the phone number, 646-378-0321. Let me go here real quickly. I had a few items. Let's see. Now, talking also about minimum wage hikes, the what happened was the big flop headline says, federal minimum wage bill goes nowhere in the Senate. Raising the minimum wage has been a White House pet project for months, and yet today Senate Democrats came exactly 6 votes shy of moving forward with a bill that would raise the hourly federal minimum wage from 7.25 cents an hour to $10.10 an hour over a 30-month period. The official tally was 54 to 42. They needed 60 votes to get past cloture, and as expected, most lawmakers voted the party line. Only Senator Bob Corker, Republican of Tennessee, joined the Democrats to advance the measure. That's a nice little headline. I think it's, I can't remember his name, but one of the actors, I'll think of it in a second. He says, Obama doesn't even share a nodding acquaintance with the Constitution. Another headline, economy stalls, health spending explodes as Obamacare is fully implemented. Harry Reid to the GOP, come at me, bro. Now, there's another headline, White House blames weather for GDP's minuscule growth. Of course they do. It says, Wall Street Journal's poll says Obama's approval stands at 44%. I heard one that said 41% earlier, so I don't know who to believe. A House Democrat says basically all criticism – oh, that's Pigelosi. All criticism of Obama is straight-up racism. Yeah, so that's those lovely little stories. Let me see if I can find the next one. Okay, now we also have – quickly, I want to do this. Okay, I want to get – okay, I'm going to bring in – live. Hello, you're on the air.
Linda, it's me, hon.
Hi.
Hey.
Because it says L-I-V-E. It didn't say libertarian, you know.
Oh, wow. Well, that's...
Anyway, so what do you...
think of viruses and getting rid of viruses and Skype and all the other nonsense. Right to secession. Well, here's the thing. I'm not quite sure if it's even valid after the states ratified the 14th Amendment and the states became into one big-ass corporation. Not sure if they null and voided it. And you know what? It's really neither here nor there, because
right.
D.C. isn't going to let them go anyway.
I get that.
It's not going to happen without a fight. Now,
personally,
I think it's time to say, we're out. As you know, Linda, I have discovered that if I'm not a government worker, employee, I am not
right.
bound to the federal state income tax. And as you know, I filled out my taxes and I put zero, and I've demanded a full refund.
Good.
I'm not a federal employee, ergo, I don't fall under wages. Now, They will most likely refute it, and they'll just have to come and take my money. That's
here's
all.
The
now,
other thing.
Now, my bank account might be zero, but you know, but as far as the secession, I think it will not happen without bloodshed.
Right. The thing is, exactly, and it didn't the last time. I mean,
correct.
Let's face it. So the thing is, the portion of the book that my whole idea was to explain at this time, 1860, 1861, that's what the people thought. From everywhere where you lived, whether it was New York or whether it was South Carolina or North Carolina, it didn't matter. Everybody was feeling the same way. Detroit, Iowa, all of them, Pennsylvania even. Now, this was prior to the actual war because they did secede, and that's when, you know, Lincoln did his despotic deal and pulled the military into it. And that's why these people were speaking about despotism, because that's exactly what was going on. So I just wanted to give you – I'm halfway through the book. So once I get further, it'll explain that that's what that Civil War did, was it screwed us royally. I mean, forget the 14th. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we're technically still under martial law. has not been officially rescinded.
I forget what that was called. Isn't that
when Congress never actually, they didn't adjourn legally or something of that nature?
No, well, this was the type it in for me, Ron. It's the one that Lincoln put together. It was probably an executive order or something.
Well, either way, but it's still alive. It was never.
Yeah, no, I know. He sent it to me, and I read it's about.
So really, all Obama has to do is just get up on a loudspeaker and say, "Hey."
The
law of 1863 it's a go, and we're live, and in come the armored tanks, and.
I know what it is now. It was the Lieber Code. That's what it was. The Lieber Code.
Well, either way, and then it's going to be Hunger Games. We're already broken up into districts, are we not?
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Well, actually, it's regionalism. That's where, I mean, California is nothing but a bunch of regions. I hear this daily from these clowns. My head bleeds every day. It makes me sick. Yeah, FEMA districts too.
And who started regionalism in California?
Ronald Reagan.
Yes. No, wait a second. You mean the patriarch of today's modern conservatism? No.
The one that had any vows to the altar?
Mark Levin's God? No. Say it as well.
I know. I want to quickly, real fast, and then I'll let you comment on it. I want to go to this article on the Benghazi situation. Now, I have not heard, because I didn't have time, but I did not hear Jay Carney Barker talking about whatever, you know, kind of crap that comes out of his mouth. I didn't get the excuses from him. But this is, it says, taking a page straight out of the Ehrlichman-Haldeman playbook, White House staffers circled the wagons to protect Obama from critical fallout following the September 2011, 2012 disaster in Benghazi, which is actually was an attack, where the ambassador said three top officials were killed. So we've got the documents obtained, court order by Judicial Watch under Freedom, the FOIA includes emails showing then Deputy Strategic Communications, Ben Rhodes, and other White House flacks drawing up plans to burnish the president's image and shift blame for the attack to the infamous internet anti-Muslim video. So I don't know the reaction from Carney. So I just heard a bunch of stuff about this today. I was reading about it today. So apparently all this has been uncovered. So what say you?
Oh, well, as far as Benghazi goes, Linda, you know that my Saturday show, right, on the Saturday show after, which of course most people know me as the hot seat, left is never right. I had said right off the get-go, because I received an email of an article that showed that Ambassador Stevens not only was running guns into Syria for the rebellion, which is by Al-Qaeda, but he was actually recruiting Al-Qaeda. And it is my belief that either Stevens, the situation was getting hot, either Stevens or someone on the inside was going to leak it. And this was 6 weeks or 8 weeks before the election. And in a mafia-style hit, Barack Obama, with the furnishings of these weapons, destroyed that consulate. And Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are personally responsible because certainly the president is the only one that can authorize or not authorize an inter-country flight over, be it a rescue mission
or a war. Right.
So this went first to Hillary, and then it went to Obama.
She's got blood on her hands, and they lie through their teeth.
Right.
And
they both said no.
Yeah, I'm sure he gave stand-down orders before he went
to
bed, and then got and then he goes to sleep, and then he gets on the jet to go play in Vegas, you know, with his campaigning. That's him. And apparently, at this time, of course, the November elections are coming up. I don't know how they threatened these people, but they must have threatened them big time, the ones who could have come forward and said something. and blown the lid off this prior to those elections, because these rat MFs, I'm telling you, Mikey, sorry for my French, but they will
That's not French, honey. That's vulgar, and that's okay. It's okay.
Well,
God understands, honey. Don't worry about it.
They will do anything. They will move heaven and earth to protect this schmuck. They absolutely.
Well, they'll protect him until he's no longer useful.
It's disgusting. And they will not impeach him because of the color of his skin. Is that sick? It's sick. To me, sicker than Al Not So Sharpton.
Yes, but that's the beauty of the plan.
You put
a black man in there, and he's not even fully black.
No.
He's half white. I mean, if more of his mother's DNA took over, we wouldn't even be talking about Barack Obama. It's the truth.
I know. But they did this. They had this plan a lot. I'll bet you when he was probably still jetting around doing, Indonesian this, that, and the other thing. I don't know. Not when he was a little kid, but when he was in college, et cetera. I believe that many people from the Middle East funded all of it.
Wait a minute. You mean college? Do you mean the full scholarship he got to Occidental College by the Fulbright Institute under a foreign scholarship? Now, I thought only non-U.S. citizens could get a foreign scholarship, that you actually had to be a foreigner.
There are so many things that don't add up on this guy. I mean, how many millions did he spend? I don't know where somebody spent, probably his buddies or Valerie Jarrett or somebody spent to hide all of his records. I mean, and then we have
All this does add up, Linda. It adds up to the global New World Order Illuminati setup. And for those of you that still refuse to believe that this is happening, grab your ankle. Okay.
Well,
I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. And then what bothers all of us who actually read, on occasion, as you notice, I had a book and I have a few newspaper articles and I try to read things. We have the no and the low information voters who still put this guy in twice. And I do believe that had somebody with the cojones to do the right thing in the media or the military and came out and blew the lid off this Benghazi thing, that Mitt Romney would be in the White House today. That's just my speculation.
He would, Linda, but you know what? Look, Romney care is Obamacare.
Yeah.
And you know what? Romney and Obama have the same similar investments in China and in other places, and you just would have got more of the same. And, Romney, Bush, Obama.
I know.
I'm talking about the ones that had the seat. They would have continued these illegal wars in the Middle East, and now it looks like we're going to have more troops by the Ukraine border. I mean, we already had another Fort Hood shooting by a guy who was diagnosed with PTSD.
Right.
Now, didn't we have another soldier recently finally sentenced either to life or to death when he shot up that Afghanistan village?
Yeah, I think I heard something about that.
But I think he was recently sentenced.
Okay.
Right? It's either life or death. I don't know which, but he's been recently sentenced. And that was a man that was look, these guys are coming home mentally effed up. Well, you do 13 years of war. I mean, in Vietnam, you did one 2-year tour and you're out. If you got hurt, you're out. I think that shooter had half a foot. If I'm not mistaken, half a foot, and they're recycling these people. And now we're going to send them to the Ukraine? Come on.
Well, the other thing that's going on, of course, is the sanctions against, which is monetary, against Putin. And apparently whoever is in charge of the money supply, et cetera, are pretty powerful folks, and I know that Ron talked about this, and he's also, Ron's quite concerned about the Deutsche Bank, and there was another one he sent me, and also the collapse, which is imminent. We just don't know the dates. It's like,
almost a year ago, I'm still targeting second quarter of 2015. And for those in your chat room, and by the way, Linda, congratulations. I mean, there's a good number
Thank
here.
You.
That's really neat. So I say second quarter of 2015 because, first of all, Obamacare will be 1 year 100% rolled out, and you're going to see the effects are going to start probably September, October. I mean, the real, real effects of this.
Yes.
And then,
the
of course, you have the elections. They're not going to have a financial collapse while people are still going to either mark it with a pen or press a button. And
sure.
Once the elections are over, then I think if it's going to happen at that point, I think that's what's going to drive it after the elections. And, of course, there's a, you know, it takes time. You put your finger in the water and it pushes out. I'm looking at second quarter of 2015, and I said that almost a year ago.
Yeah, I remember you saying about your predictions, and I think you're, you know, anybody's guess at this point, because I'm not that good with monetary stuff. I know Ron's better, and you've been following a lot of it, and you're looking at the world situation, and you're looking at other, you know, especially the globalists. I try to follow what the globalists are doing in every level, whether it's my state, which is, you know, Governor mm-hmm. Brown, or whether it's my stupid city council with their Agenda 21, and they don't even know it. I'm trying to fight these people. I've got Common Core people coming in here, and that's national, and it's private entities doing this, and it's just awful. I mean,
right.
So
I'm fighting
this stuff.
No, you are, and I respect that, and you're fighting at the government level. At this point, as I see it, I'm trying to show people that your world won't end if they take away your stuff.
Right.
By saying, I'm out of the system.
Sure.
Right? And fill out your 1040s, put zero wages if you're working in the private sector, and, hey, let them come and take it. Why hand it over?
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you want them to ultimately have it, have it. If you don't want to get shot or you don't want to get in prison. But why hand them the check? Let them come
sure.
and get it.
Oh, I know. That's the same. That's how I feel about all of it.
They can't come after 100 million people. They can't do
and
it.
And I was talking a little bit about the idiocy of my local governments with their ideology of consumerism. You know, nobody's producing anything, Mike. I mean, they think that a fancy storefront, which it won't because I've seen it happen and fail before, is going to attract people. They don't understand that Sacramento and even San Diego are literally – forcing people to hemorrhage jobs out of here and go to other states because it's so draconian and stupid. I mean, they're relying upon not Adam Smith's and von Mises's brilliant ideology. No, of course. They're going to the Keynesian, Marxist nonsense, and they're just going full speed ahead. And they're literally doing it with Agenda 21 and the green jobs and the cap and trade. They're crazy. They live in an alternate universe. I deal with this constantly.
Here's what's crazy, and Alex Jones talked about it today, matter of fact. It's happening in Austin. It's happening in San Francisco, where they're putting up basically, you can call them prison towers. They suck in.
Yep.
You're going to get free electricity, free this, free that. It's subsidized.
Right.
It's a 250-square-foot apartment, and that's going to be your life. And then, of course, you're not going to need your cars anymore, right, because, you know, we have to save the environment.
Yeah.
You know, the earth is dying. Sure. So, and then, you know, before you know it, you're living like the Japanese, right? You're living in these little cubicles, and then you're going to kill yourself. We know the suicide rate in Japan
in
is off the charts. Well,
yeah.
I'm speaking of China, too. Japan.
Well,
China, because they're actually living on the factory. At least in Japan,
yeah.
You get to go home to your little box, then commit
exactly.
suicide.
Exactly. I know
and
that.
They have a little knife. You know,
it's called the heady knife. It's called suicide in Japanese. It's called seppuku.
Well, Harry Carey.
Yeah, that's right? The method. The actual suicide word is seppuku, because I learned when I was there.
Yeah.
We used to make fun of of that because, I mean, we are silly, but because we wanted to protest whatever it was, you know, they were working us too hard, and we would kind of eat some chocolate and laugh at each other and say, okay, I'm going to go to my room and commit seppuku. So, you know, that was how I learned the language the best I could over there. But,
yeah.
Oh, Ron's taken off. Everyone's taken off. God, guys, thanks for coming in. Whoever can hang in, I've still got 4 minutes. Mikey, thanks so much for calling. And I know that I've got Leah on the other line.
Oh, go ahead.
She's
go
just listening. Yeah. Did you want to – I don't know if she's on mute or speaking, but Leah, you're welcome to chime in. Here we go.
I'm ready to go now. I agree with everything you guys have been saying, and I think we can go back to the, you know, shows that we've had before. It's just a matter of getting out there and letting people know because, again, I really believe that people just don't realize what's going on. You know, people really don't take the time is what it boils down to, and they're so wrapped up in things. And I'm wrapped up in a lot of things. I'm a single mom of two kids that are very involved in things. But, you know, I want a better future for my children, you know, and unless we do something about it, nothing's going to be done. You know, we have to get out there and we have to be heard on all of this.
This is why,
totally agreeing.
Right. This is why I do the shows. And also I get out and Mikey knows this because I was calling from the field the other day and I go to meetings and I'll sit there and I'll listen and take notes and do what I have to do. I will make sure I've made phone calls this week to Sacramento, the education department, saying we want to opt out of Common Core. You know, this is the bill I'm supporting, whatever. I mean, I don't just sit on the couch and I don't just sit behind this microphone. I go out and do it. And I've got more meetings coming up. There's going to be some hell to pay because I'm going to go up
and
against
I,
the Agenda 20. Go ahead.
I love that. I love that. And I don't know. I talked to Bill yesterday. Actually, we had talked a couple of times. And I'm hoping to represent our area around here.
Yes.
I've you know, I've thought about it. I've prayed about it. And it's just something I know that I'm busy. And that's what I told Bill was my worst fear was, am I going to have time? But, you know, he reminded me there are others out there to help support you when you are busy. So one thing I want to say to you, Linda, if you can link me to some of those things, because I am kind of like you. I like to know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I like to study it. I like to read it. If you could link those to me, I would greatly, greatly appreciate some of those things.
Okay.
That would be amazing.
Are you're on Facebook, right?
That is correct. I friended you today, but then Facebook went down on me, so I wasn't able to get up on the other links, but I will get that done tomorrow for sure.
Are you a member of Patriot Families?
I believe I am, but I am going to check again. I'm pretty sure I am, but if not, I will definitely get on there as well.
Okay. The other thing I can do is try to get something to Bill. If he has your email, I can, you know, he can go that way. Oh, he's also, I don't know if you're in the chat room, but he's got patriotfamilies.com. That's www.patriotfamilies.com, Y-S. It's real easy to get into. I'm going to put up the thing that I got from the Blaze on Common Core. That'll help everybody because it's an in-depth report, and it's fabulous. You guys need to all know about it.
Great.
So, all right. Thank you, Mikey, so much for joining everybody. Bill, Doc, Mike, everybody that can still hear me.
You're very welcome. And
Sandy.
If I could say, like, real quick, just 2 seconds. You want to be heard. People want to be heard the loudest. Empty the schools. Claim zero on your wages. Demand a full refund. Have them come and get it. And like Ron said, tax debt. 3 years, go to bankruptcy court. They can't take us all down.
That's right.
Take away the money. Empty the schools. That's the loudest voice you can make.
Okay, guys, I'm going to play a little bit of music, and I want to say God bless to everybody. I'll try to get stuff up on Patriot Families about Common Core. God
and
bless.
Tomorrow
night, thank you, Linda. God bless. Good night.
Higher Truth
Mike
Radio.
Mike D, Higher Truth Radio.
Watching me. Hey, hell, I pay.
Mikey. I thought you'd enjoy that song.
Yeah, it was very apropos.
All right, apropos. I will send out a blast possibly tomorrow for your show, so that will help.
Thank you, my dear. I appreciate it.
Good night. God bless. And I hope everything goes good for you and your friend and everything else.
Oh, no. Cheryl and I worked it out today. We're fine. I knew we would. She's that way, Ohan. You would love her.
Awesome.
One day you meet her. You really would love her.
Good deal. Okay, Mikey. Special. Have a great one.
All right, hon. You too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good night.